Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Five-year-old Garrett Mathias died on July 6th of a rare form of cancer that affected his cranial nerve and inner ear. Garrett was a unique, creative, and exuberant five-year-old. His parents have chosen to share Garrett's personality, his words, and his ideas with all of us through a very creative obituary and the kind of funeral celebration of life that could only have been dreamed up by Garrett. Emily Mathias, Garrett's mom, is here with me now. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
I wish we weren't having this conversation, but I am very grateful to you for sharing some of Garrett's joy with all of us. Can you tell me about him?
Oh, sure. Garrett was an absolute joy. He was funny and witty and really just loved life. Even through his 9-month battle with cancer, was had a great sense of humor, and even through a lot of the pain and sickness that came with not only from the cancer but from much of the treatments that he received, was just a fun, lighthearted kid that really brought joy to everybody that he met.
He loved superheroes.
Oh, absolutely. He loved Batman. By far was his favorite superhero. He had everything and anything that was Batman, whether it be every single Lego set that was available, to stuffed animals, to every action figure that was out there. Batman really resonated with Garrett. But then from a movie standpoint, Thor was his number one favorite movie. He loved watching the Thor movies, loved the music from Thor Ragnarok. And I think we watched that movie at least 100 times, if not more.
From reading the obituary and a few of the things that I've heard, it sounds like Garrett really loved to tease a little bit. Tell me about that.
So he was just very funny, very witty. And, there's not a whole lot to do when you're spending, we probably spent 11 to 14 days a month in the hospital while he was getting his treatment. And so, not a whole lot to do to occupy your time. And he used to love to tease the nurses and the doctors when they would come in. His favorite was whoopee cushions. He thought he was so clever and would strategically place whoopee cushions. When I say strategically place, right in the middle of the floor or right on the chair where then he'd coax a doctor or a nurse to come in and sit down. And then he would just laugh and laugh. He loved, there was this slime that we could get down in the in one of the areas in the hospital, and it was slime that when you pushed on it, it sounded like it farted, and he would put it behind his back and go up to the doctors or the nurses as they were walking down the hall and push it and then, make a fart sound and then run and laugh and giggle. He just thought that was hilarious.
This was a very painful, difficult journey, 9 months for him and obviously for you and his sister and your husband. You have chosen, in addition to sharing the joy that was Garrett, you've chosen to share that this was a really painful experience and that chemotherapy is terribly painful and difficult, and all of the decisions that have to be made are so painful and difficult. Why is that important for you to make sure that people hear that right now?
It's one of those things that when you see pictures of cancer kids, and even, when we post pictures to Facebook, nobody ever wants to post the sad pictures or, the pictures of the pain that these kids go through. And the reality of cancer is that it is just ugly. There's just so many things that he had to endure, as do all, you know, everybody undergoing cancer, not just or cancer treatment, not just kids. But it's so hard to watch not only Garrett, but some of his little friends go through, you know, all of the treatment and the pain and the suffering that they have to go through. And, you know, it's just there's not enough visibility and knowledge as it relates to the treatment of cancer. A lot of times, you know, when you see commercials or you see cancer kids, they're all these cute little bald-headed kids that are always smiling, and you know, that's really not the reality. And although they do, kids are so resilient and so amazing, and you know, they can take the worst situation and find the happiness and the joy of it. But the reality and the things that we see day in and day out as parents and as doctors and as nurses is really horrific. And we wanted to bring that to the forefront, because it is important, and it is one of the things that, you know, we want to get out there to ensure that his death wasn't meaningless.
The obituary that you wrote for Garrett is connected with so many people, because it's funny and sweet and heartbreaking, and it's written in a really unusual way. It's written really, it's the form of a questionnaire where you asked Garrett questions about some of his favorite things, and he gave you his very smart, very funny answers. Where did the idea for that kind of obituary come from?
Sure. So it actually, the inspiration of it was a gift that I got from my daughter, who brought it home from kindergarten for Mother's Day. And it was one of those very cute question answer type activities that the teacher had done with the kindergarten class, having each one of them answer questions about their mommy. And so, you know, it was just very real and very funny, very sweet and endearing, and it had resonated with me. And you know, it was one of those, my mommy is, and I think Delphina, my daughter, said, you know, 30 years old, and the thing that I love most about mommy is when she plays with me. And you know, my mom makes the best, and she said fried rice, you know, just the funniest little quirky answers that only a little kid could come up with. And so I received that in May for Mother's Day. And then when Garrett was terminally diagnosed in June, that just popped into my head. And I was talking to Ryan and my husband, and I just said, you know, I don't want his obituary to be one of those formal obituaries that doesn't give you a lot of information about who died and how they died. And, you know, cancer seems to be a springboard to have a lot of really tough conversations. So, you know, death was something that we had talked about often through the 9-month battle that Garrett had. But we started jotting things down, and we started, you know, really asking some questions and gathering information in a very non-threatening way to pull together an obituary that we knew that would showcase Garrett's personality.
And it is brilliant. And it has connected, like I said, with so many people. And it just, not just in Iowa, but around the world now. You've heard from CNN, the BBC, the New York Times.
Yep.
How does that feel?
It's amazing. It's one of those almost surreal experiences that, you know, we knew how great Garrett was. And, you know, both he and I, when we finished writing the obituary and were sitting down and reading it, we were laughing and we were crying and just reminiscing about how great of a kid Garrett was, and how we were pretty happy with how his voice and his words really came out in the obituary. But then to have it go, you know, even to have the Des Moines Register want to do an article on it, and then from there it just exploded. And I'm so thrilled that not only do others get to see a glimpse of how great Garrett was, but also it's connecting with people, you know, that are fighting a similar battle, or on a, you know, the very heartwarming side, how people are rethinking how they want to be remembered, whether that be through a funeral or a celebration of life. And I think that's amazing.
And speaking of celebration of life, yeah. That's another place where you let Garrett take the lead. And I know that you and your husband have been to far too many funerals in the last year or so. And that was Garrett's inspiration for thinking about what he wanted when he had to go, right?
Yep, it absolutely was. You know, in multiple conversations, whether it be, you know, mommy coming home from a funeral and being sad, and Garrett asking why I was sad, and or, you know, just having conversations around what happens after you die, you know, he was just in a very 5-year-old way, just why does it have to be sad? And I don't want a funeral that's sad, you know? And then he would just go off into, I want 5 bouncy houses because I'm 5. And, you know, at my funeral, I want snow cones and I want Batman to come. And I want, you know, all of these amazing things that I would never in a million years have thought of doing from a funeral perspective, that, you know, it made sense. And once we, you know, once we wrote the obituary and my husband and I were talking about it, you know, we went back and forth because it is very non-traditional and it is very much out of our comfort zone to do something like that. But the more we got to thinking about it and talking about it, the more, you know, we didn't want to stand in a funeral home or a church or wherever we would have ended up having a funeral, and having, you know, hundreds or thousands of people come in and shake our hand and give us hugs and tell us how sorry they were. And, you know, that wasn't how we wanted to remember Garrett. And that's, you know, not something we wanted to do either. And so we were inspired by him to make it a happy celebration, or as happy as it could be, mourning the death of a 5-year-old kid.
And you did have 5 bounce houses. And
we did.
Did have snow cones, and you did have Batman and some other superheroes also, and face painting and cotton candy and all kinds of dream come true things for kids. I want to talk about the Asgardian send-off that you gave Garrett. And for people who are not familiar with the Thor mythology, this was a Thor is Asgardian. And
right.
So you tried to give Garrett a traditional Asgardian funeral with a boat on a pond. And then you had someone who's an archer shoot a flaming arrow at the boat so that it would burn on the water.
Correct.
How did you think of that?
So Garrett actually asked for that. So one day we were driving home from somewhere, and we passed a cemetery, and they happened to be burying somebody in the cemetery at that time. And Garrett was just very curious, and what happens there and what are they doing? And so we explained to him that, you know, some people, when they die, they choose to be buried, and one of the places that they can be buried is in a cemetery. And so we talked a lot about, you know, what happens after you die and that sort of thing. And just out of nowhere in the ride home, Garrett goes, well, I don't want to be buried. I want to be burned. And he's like, I want to be burned like, remember mommy when Thor's mommy died? They burned her. And, you know, and then he just went into this long conversation about how that's how, when he died, he wanted to be burned instead of being buried. And then I remember we had to watch that movie in that part when we got home so he could show me. So I would know exactly what he was talking about. And so that's, you know, that was part of the inspiration for doing what we did. And, you know, it had some mishaps, but all in all, I mean, it was amazing and incredible, and so many people came together to pull that off that I think Garrett would have been amazed.
You have gotten so much attention for this. What message would you like to share right now with other parents, with other people who just love their kids so much?
You know, it is. It is so hard, and every interview that we do is hard. And every, but it's also healing. It doesn't have to be all sad. I mean, we are heartbroken that Garrett lost his battle to cancer, and it is the hardest thing every day to get up and to go on. But it also. What happened gives us, you know, a reason to keep going. So every time I do an interview or my husband does an interview, it gets Garrett's story out there and people get to know Garrett and they get to just see a glimpse of what an amazing kid he was. And that helps just a little bit. And to go through and make his wishes come to life is really healing as well. I feel so good, and so does my husband, that we did the things that Garrett would have liked us to do, and we think that he would have loved to have seen the Archer. He would have thought that was incredible, and to see Thor and Batman and Spider-Man and all of those superheroes that came. You know, there was a fire truck and a police car. There was just so many things, and he would have just been excited and had a wonderful time, and that helps. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's so healing, and I know I keep saying that, but it really is healing to be a part of everything that Garrett has done and to make it come to life. And it doesn't have to be all sad. I mean, we'll always be heartbroken, and there'll always be this huge hole in our lives because Garrett isn't here. But there's also laughter and just... It was so hard to be sad on Saturday when we had it, because there were so many kids that were just running around screaming and giggling, and that's what we want and how we want Garrett to be remembered.
Emily, thank you so much, and thank you for being brave enough to share your love and Garrett's joy with all of us. I think maybe you have a little Asgardian blood too.
Oh, thank you.
This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.